What's the password?
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Welcome in to the To The Point Home Services VIP room, where we invite you, the listeners in, to hang alongside some of the biggest, baddest, and most successful VIPs of the home services industries. You never know which surprise guest will show up next. So let's get this party started.
Hey, what's up, home service VIPs? It's your boy, Chris. And I got my co-host with me, one that's looking a little bit slimmer these days, and that is my good friend Chad. Chad dropped 20 lbs, bro. That almost seems like you actually lost too much weight, but you look great.
I'm barely 5'10", so, you know, I don't have like my stature is not massive. But no, I feel good. Probably put on a little muscle here over the next couple of months, but yeah, I feel good.
So what's your weight? I'm like 5'10 and a half, so I got you by a half. Unless you ask my doctor and they'll say I'm 5'10". I'm sticking by 5'10 and a half because they don't know how to measure correctly.
Yeah.
But I'm right now, I normally am around 180-ish pounds. But
yeah.
Today I weighed in at 171. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm 170.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I'm usually about 190. I've been about 190 since after college. And just kind of bounce back and forth there.
All right. Now here he is. He's starting about to turn 40 and he's trying to get physically fit. You can't have midlife crisis before 40. It's got to be after.
Yeah.
Well, going to be a good episode today. We got some Indiana boys on here. Actually, mostly Indiana boys on here. We got our guest Jack Hope on today from Hope Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning. And you guys are electrical now as well, right? You guys are all three.
Yes, sir. Yeah, just recently.
Welcome. You guys came off of a great 2025, around $62 million, and paced at $75 million. Not too shabby, Jack. Not too shabby.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Been a fun run for sure.
I'm sure Chad would love to take some of that from you, and you'd love to take some from him. Hey, let the games begin.
it's a big old pie. There's lots of work out there to share.
Of course. Whoa. That was fun, though.
Sure.
Hey, listen, real quick, guys, before we jump into it. I did come up with an idiom today, and that idiom is, and this one is going to seem pretty straightforward. It's called, let's see if you guys have heard this one. Let sleeping dogs lie. You guys heard that before, right?
Certainly.
Let sleeping dogs lie. Which is basically like, you know, don't disrupt like a peaceful situation. Like just kind of leave it for those who might not have heard that before, but really, I think this one's going to shock you guys on how far back this one goes and the origination of it. The origination of this, to I'm sure it's going to surprise all you guys, is exactly as it sounds. Don't wake up a sleeping dog for fear of that dog could get angry or aggressive and then cause a problem, an unnecessary problem when it's peacefully sleeping. So it is exactly as it sounds. But this thing was earliest recorded was back in the 1300s in one of Aaron's favorite books, the Troilus and Chrysiade. Right, Aaron, that was one of your favorites. Yeah, okay.
Talking about I'm getting ready to get close to 40 and I got to start preparing for my health. I'm on the other edge of that. I'm not gonna
50 exactly, but yeah, 50, you can say it's 50. We are like Jack, I'm excited to have you on, buddy, man. I've known about the company for so long, and I've known about you, but yet we have never met. Shame on me.
Yeah, me too, probably. I've been following you guys and what you're doing. It's pretty cool stuff. I'm glad to be here.
Well, and you guys were, I don't know if you are or still are or were, a customer of Rhino's for a period of time. Yeah. I'm not there. I've been gone since December, but so thank you, I guess, for that.
Of course. Everybody's been great.
I don't know which portion of that you caught, but I started that company back in 2008, right there in Plainfield, Indiana, at one of those Jaeger properties.
Nice. That's fun. I didn't know that it was that close. I knew you had Midwest roots, but I didn't know it was that close.
Yeah, man. I grew up down just outside of Crawfordsville.
Oh, cool.
Went to school at ISU. And then I bailed after college and went straight to Arizona. So I've been here ever since, but we did start the company back there. My wife and I, she's born and raised in Phoenix. I got her to Indiana for 2 winters and that was it.
I mean, that's probably fair.
But we bought the house in fall. you know, like the 2 week window where it's actually gorgeous is what she's like. And she's like, yeah, we could do this.
Sweatshirt or shorts and hoodie weather.
Shorts and hoodie. but that will never happen again. So now we just go and visit and stay. But hey, we do have a trip coming up somewhere in this near future to go over to Ohio to visit my boy Gaynor and then go up to Cedar Park. Is it Cedar Park?
Cedar Point.
Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Point. The amusement park. Yeah.
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 Okay, listen, let's go ahead and get into this too. I want to just get started a little bit. Actually, I'll just give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors before I forget. Give a shout out to Avoca. Big fan of Avoca. To Sales Ask, who we recorded with his last episode, we recorded with the CEO of Sales Ask. I love that guy. He just jumped right in and asked a bunch of questions. Obviously, to my favorite email marketing company, Send Email Marketing, who is well on its way to being the number one home services email marketing company. Why? Because your boy's part of it. And then also a quick shout out to Can't Stop the Growth with the man, Chad Peterman, at the helm of the ship. Okay, that's enough, guys. Let's get to work. Okay?
Did you pay extra for it to go that way, Chad, for sponsoring?
You know what?
Pay extra.
I think you'd have paid him not to do that.
Yeah.
Chad paid zero, but here's what I think. It's a legit good program. Obviously, we've had some of his customers on before that he's worked with, but the dude's been doing this fucking podcast for like, I don't even know how long now, and never asks for anything from me. So the least I could do is show a little love to his coaching organization. That's legit. So.
Absolutely.
I always said the worst part about hosting the podcast was like, I used to wake up every Tuesday morning and that was like my programming for Tuesday getting ready. Well, now it's like, well, I've already done the episode. I've already listened. I could probably use re-listening to a few. But here recently we have had like, I literally had the podcast up with my team today. I was like with Helmy from a couple weeks ago. I was like, you guys need to listen to this. Like there's a ton of good stuff. So kudos to you, Chris, for bringing on such good guests. I've learned a ton. And I told them, I was like, you know, it's a good guess when either Aaron or I go, whoa, 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 hold on. We're going to go back to that point. I need to learn how you're doing that because I'm not any good at it right now.
Yeah, that was a great episode. So, I mean, what's been fun about this, Jack, is like we kind of went from this straight interview style, which kind of still happens, right, because we're genuinely curious. And the reason I decided to change this up, and you may or may not know this, is some of my favorite moments are when like, you know, me and Chad and Aaron and Tommy or like some of our buddies are all like Pantheon or at a freedom event or wherever. And we're just with the group. We're just together as a group. And then random contractors come up and these guys start asking questions and they start asking these guys questions. Like those are some of the coolest moments I love because it's just like genuine back and forth, you know, bullshitting, but about business and everybody's just kind of having a normal conversation. And that's what I really want this to be. Cool. It is exactly like that because obviously these guys are both bigger than you, right? So there's certainly something to learn. And but even like to Chad's point, like Helmy, this dude's like, where are they at? 35, pacing 35 million, running 56% gross margin, 21% EBITDA. Like there's some shit to learn there too.
No doubt. So, Helmy's a lot of fun.
Yeah, he is a trip. He is a great dude. He texted me yesterday all excited. So he's great. Well, let's jump into this.
We might as well get it out of the way now because we might as well bring up Redwood again and call it quickly. Let's just do it. Let's just get it done. Redwood. With Redwood. We've had a lot of Redwood guests on lately, which is we're trying to try to understand what's going on with Chris. He's got a special sponsorship that he's not telling us about. But congrats on all of that. So we're going to get into that too and a little bit of your story. And I met you guys years ago when I think you were around 20 something million while we were all growing and you guys have really taken off. So congratulations, by the way, on that. So
thanks, go ahead, Chris.
Let's get that out of the way. So we already can acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Still waiting on our swag.
By the way, I asked for it.
Did you? All right, good.
I felt like it's the least that they could do is give us a bag. I mean, shit, now this is the Redwood show. Hey, we interviewed somebody yesterday that wasn't on part of the Redwood family yet.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. Let's go ahead and jump into this. Now, Jack, you have three partners in the business. Is that how it is?
Just one.
Just one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and your partner is, what's his name?
Brad Persick.
Brad Prince. Yeah. So I've not heard him or met him. But you guys went into this deal together, right? And
that's
then
correct.
And this wasn't supposed to be in the beginning all that it's become, if I read some of the history correctly.
Yeah, got it.
So maybe share a little bit of that, just kind of your come up into the trades, and then we'll start, just digging into some questions.
Sure. Sounds great. So the quickest version of this is I was at school in Bloomington. Another buddy of mine, Brad, had an idea for a business. He and I left IU Bloomington as juniors or whatever, started this business that sold like overstocked building supplies. Some of you guys might remember like Newport's outlet stores or whatever that were around town. Mm-hmm. So similar concept. That business closed because we were 21 and had, no idea what we were doing. Had a second location before we made any money. Lots of terrible decisions. So that business closed and I went to work for Kirkhoff Plumbing, which no longer exists. But it was a family friend's business. They were a big mechanical contractor, did hotels and hospitals and stuff like that. And they sort of brought myself and my partner at the time in to grow their service department. So that was basically just, sounds much more glamorous than it was. It was cold calling hotels and things that they've built to say, hey, now we can offer you service or whatever, and trying to do that. And then eventually started doing residential. And after a couple of years of that, I mean, they were great, truly, like no complaint with them. Brad and I had just been chatting and figured out we thought we could probably do more than what we were doing at Kirkhoff. And sort of at the same time, I'd gone back to school and started taking classes again. So I wanted to go back full time. So my sort of vision was I'm going to do this plumbing thing and try to pay for grad school and see what happens, which is what I did. I got done with grad school and Brad was working full time and we'd hired another couple guys full time. And it was just, I didn't think it made any sense to walk away from this business where I'd made, decent money even when it was three or four people, and I was going to go teach at Purdue or IU or something and like make less money than what I would have continuing on plumbing. And so that's when we decided hey, this is like a real business. This is a thing we're going to focus on instead of just sort of do it like we were kids trying to stay busy. And did pretty well, got to right around $2 million in sales, a little shy of $2 million. And that's when we teamed up with Nexstar. And that was really pivotal for us. It was my first time experiencing businesses like ours of scale, right? The business that I was around was great. I mean, it was, 30 or 40 people and they did, $8 or $10 million a year or something like that, but all commercial work. So it felt much different. And then I went to Bob Hamilton's shop in Kansas City, right? Is that right? And was just blown away by the systems, the process, all the trucks, all the different excavating crews. And, I'm a relatively competitive guy. So I thought to myself, hey, if these guys can do this, I'm willing to give it a shot. Think I can probably pull this off or something. And that was a big moment. I mean, I came back and I start telling Brad things dude, we've got to wear uniforms to work. And we have to say ho plumbing when we answer the phone instead of just hello. And he's like, what are you talking about, dude? And it took months for us to agree about how we were going to sort of move forward with that. And obviously we got there, but that's probably the beginnings of Hope Plumbing is as much as I can do it.
What year was that, real quick? What year did you guys start?
Yeah, so the business was incorporated in 07. And I'd say we joined Nexstar, I'm guessing here, 2013 or 14, something like that.
Jack, I think obviously being in the same market, watched what we joined. We were had been started in Nexstar roughly about the same. I remember going to events and stuff like that. And I think one of the things that I think listeners can really take just a lot of lessons from is like, you guys were in this, and not to like dive into Indianapolis geography, you guys were in the Broad Ripple area, you know, sewer excavation, like that is, it's like the, I don't know what the name of it is. It's like the Holy Grail of sewer work. But like, you guys did this like unbelievable thing. And I remember, you know, always like talking like, how do we get into this area? It's like Hope owns this area. Like they're everywhere. Like what was kind of your strategy? You know, maybe it was early on, maybe it was as you kind of developed of like, hey, we're going to own this area. Like this is going to be ours. And obviously you've expanded now and go, you know, here, there, and everywhere. But like, what was kind of those early days of like, hey, this is our area. We're going to own it. Some of those things. I know there's people out there that are like, how do I grow in this big city? And what do I do? And I think you guys just did a phenomenal job of like attacking that kind of geography.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, part of that, like, I'll say a couple of things about it. One, I would love to sit here and be like, well, we had this great vision and this plan that we attacked and we executed. And like, the reality is Brad and I grew up there. And we went to high school at Chittard. So it was just very natural for us. I mean, the first advertising that we did was two things. One, we would leave business cards at Sullivan's Hardware on their counters. And then the other thing that we did was print a bunch of door hangers. And Brad and I would literally walk door to door, hang, you know, hang on doorknobs or whatever, these flyers. At one point, my mom was doing it. At one point, Brad's brother-in-law was doing it. And like, we were just walking up and down the streets in the neighborhood, you know? And I mean, to that end, people ask me today, like, what would you do if you were starting a business? And I still tell them that, because you can be so hyper-focused. And like, I think we kind of got, I'd love to take credit, but I think we didn't know we were intentionally saturating a market like that, Chad. And it just kind of worked out that way. The other thing, which was also extremely fortuitous, was, I don't even know if some of you might remember, Canada's Northside Plumbing. They were at 54th and Keystone. It was a small shop, but they'd been there forever. And they kind of were, to Broad Ripple, what we were when we were first starting, right? Like most of their work was right there. And their slogan was specializing in older homes. And that business closed about 2 years before we started. And I just kind of picked it up because it's all older homes right there. That's what I grew up in. And I think that was a big part of it, was I think that neighborhood really latched on to the older homes concept, in part because most people that live in an older home are like proud of it. And I think it's a slogan that they were sort of already familiar with. But later, you know, once we sort of realized, I'll take some credit here. Once we realized that really canvassing an area, like hitting it hard rather than being in a whole bunch of places a little bit, we've sort of continued to employ that strategy over time. And if we're going to go to a new area of town, we go in pretty hard and go all at once rather than try to like cover all of Indianapolis. We'll pick up a zip code or a county or, you know, whatever that is. So we at least learned from our luck, and that counts from.
You're spending thousands to make the phone ring, but if your CSRs aren't picking up or converting, you might as well light it on fire. And what are the largest businesses in the country doing about this? They use Avoka, the leading AI platform in the trades. $100 million businesses like H.L. Bowman are operating with only 9 CSRs because Avoka handles up to 80% of the calls. Plus, Avoka follows up with your leads, grades your CSR calls, and helps you strategize. So my suggestion, go with the leading company. Check out avoca.ai. That's avoca.ai. Click the link below.
Up for something.
One of the biggest mistakes operators make is assuming they know what's happening in the sales process. The reality is most managers don't have time to listen to every single call, sit in every ride along, or review every sales conversation. Sales Ask solves that problem. Chad and I use Sales Ask at our roofing company and seen great results. Their AI helps you review real conversations, identify coaching opportunities, spot the missed steps, and understand exactly where your team is winning and losing deals. If you're investing heavily in lead gen but don't have visibility into your sales process, you're flying blind. What are you doing? Book a free sales visibility session with Sales Ask and mention To The Point Home Services VIP Room to get your free exclusive listener offer. Hey, Chad, Aaron, are you guys canvassing still? Oh, wait, you have a canvasser. We use the same. Are we using the same canvasser, Chad, for Revert as you are for Pickerman? Are we using that same?
We're not doing a ton of it actively right now, which I just wrote down.
I used to do that stuff all the time. I used to canvas, do stuff.
It's like, yeah.
I'm not saying to anybody listening, again, like that aren't doing, like, this is how
Gorilla.
I started doing it early. This is what I did. I canvassed, walked, did stuff. You kind of lose the art of that stuff when you start to think, what's efficient, efficiency, why all these things, where you lose that connection, right? Oh, I got a door hanger. Oh, who's this?
Yeah.
Like, it worked. Obviously, look where he is. You guys aren't hoping. You know, kind of look where we went. And I imagine you did a lot of that too early on.
Well, I think it's too, we've talked about this. On some episode. It's like all of like the, like everything is so hyper digital, AI, this, all that. But like all of these analog modes still work really well. They're just hard, right? Yeah. It's like, well, I can't write a Claude thing that can canvas the entire neighborhood. It's like, no, you got to get off your ass and you got to go fucking hang door hangers. Like, that's the way that it's got to be done. But like, that's, I mean, I was in a meeting this morning, literally, and they're looking at like some of our newer markets, like, you know, Google leads are, you know, $200-$300 a lead. I'm like, guys, like, you can't, this doesn't math. Like, I can't just go spend more money in this city. Like, we've got to come up with other strategies to generate leads. And I think that's where, like, you guys did such a great job. Obviously, Aaron's done it. We've done it, but not great. And it's like, there's so many neighborhoods where you can be everything to everybody. And you don't need a lot of trucks. You don't need all of this stuff. Like, eventually you'll get there, but like, can't you just be the big fish in one zip code, or like eight different neighborhoods that, you know, all need your stuff? I just think that sometimes you got to take a few steps back to realize that, hey, it's all the same damn building blocks. They just look different at different levels.
I mean, we did for years, I bet 80% of our work was between downtown and 71st Street and like Michigan Road and 37.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, two zip codes, maybe.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah. So I used to have a thing to follow that up and make me think about this. And I want to get back to ask you a question, but stay on the top. I used to have a thing that where we tracked every zip code and how many leads we did a zip code. We had, I used to call it win one zip code at a time, right? And we'd march a zip code. So it's like, win the zip code you're in. We'd march another zip code, then I'd march another zip code, and then march another zip code. And we did that forever until eventually we kind of got bigger. Now we have, I don't know, now we just got big, massive reporting things, right? That probably, actually, I think about it, probably should go back to that and just start looking at every zip code and just see how many leads did we get out of the zip code. Did we grow the market share in that zip code only? And it was all kind of done, you know, in the old school style. It's just, you know, knocking on doors, throwing out, getting, dropping off flyers, showing up, doing small market media stuff. That was all in the neighborhoods, the community, right? All of that stuff. So I think it's a good reminder that those things still, I'm glad you brought it up. And I imagine we all kind of lose connection with it as we get further and further away into this big digital world in mass media stuff. So I think for all of us, including myself, as we chat, I saw you writing down, I started writing it down again too. It's like all of us to think like, hey, there's still a huge opportunity here.
Well, so, maybe I should ask this question. Jack, are you still canvassing?
Yeah. So I was just getting ready to tell you guys I'll tell you how we do it. Maybe you guys are better at this than we are, but occasionally, occasionally we have technicians, right, that don't have work to do on a given afternoon or a Friday, or, you know, you've got a install crew that's off or whatever. Well, we just have tens of thousands of flyers sitting at the shop, and an option for them, if they want to, is they can go hang door flyers for their hourly rate or whatever, or not, right? So we just sort of put that labor to use when we don't have something else to do.
Hey, Jack, have you heard of or one, did you know that Chad and I have a roofing business out there?
I did. It's Redbird. Is that right?
That's it. Yeah. We literally did these things, except we did everything but canvas. It seemed like, but Chad and I went to this roofing event and, we were listening to all these big retail companies and they kept saying their number one lead source was canvassing. Number one of all these lead sources, number one. That's the one thing that he and I wasn't doing a great job of.
Literally, like there's a guy down in Tennessee, Jordan White. We need to have him on here. He's awesome. Roofing guy, but like built like a $20 million company and all they do is canvas. Like he's trying to learn like the retail model. He's like, I can't figure out this marketing thing. I'm like, it doesn't seem like you need to. You just need to just keep doing this. But yeah, I mean, roofing, I mean, like obviously I feel like canvassing gets kind of always put in the camp of like, oh, well, yeah, when a storm comes through, then you canvas and you go show up at doors. But like they're doing it in not a storm market. And just literally like canvassing, hey, would you like a roof inspection? Hey, we'll hop on there and check it out. And, you know, here's financing, here's all of this stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think it's still, it's just a matter of like, it takes effort to do. And I feel like sometimes we get stuck in these like, well, like whatever's easiest to like generate leads, I guess just throw another TV commercial up, then we'll see if it works or not.
It also, last thing I'll say, it feels local to me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there was a real human being who came over here and hung this thing on the door from this place instead of whatever, a commercial or a digital ad or pay-per-click or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point too. I think Chad keeps, you said it a few times now, he's nailing on the head. It's just effort. Like it's actually a lot of effort to do that. But you giving them the option to go home or to stay and make their normal hourly salary to go and canvas, that's just an effort thing, right? Like that's just whether you want to go do it for your hourly salary. You want to go home, make no money.
Sure.
But that's
I mean, Chad's right. At $300 per Google lead, you can spend quite a bit of time passing those things out, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. So I want to go back to kind of the story. Oh, sorry, Chris, but I want to go back to the story. So getting going on his, they were plumbers. So they started, we have a very similar story. By the way, kind of like timeline, 07, you got into Nextar. We got the same time Chad and I kind of did. And you were plumbing only for a very long time. Yep. I think you guys stayed plumbing to about what size? Where were you before you added the other HVAC? And then I think you just added electrical, right? So
I'm trying to think. We did the 62 last year, 40 of it is plumbing.
Okay. But how long were you plumbing only again? You were plumbing a drain for a pretty long
until
time.
Until last April. So we've been doing HVAC for 15 months or whatever.
Okay. Oh, all right. So you've been a massive plumber. I thought you added about 2 or 3 years ago for some reason, but no,
we had talked about it on and off and we're just kind of waiting for the right opportunity. And then, we acquired Service Plus. You guys probably remember that business.
Oh, Cunningham?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Chris is actually the dude. Shout out to Chris Cunningham. He worked really hard to get me to go to a Nextar event with him. I was like, dude, I don't want to do that. That sounds terrible. Dude, like,
fun
here was his final pitch. He's like, all right, we're going to go there. We're going to get really drunk night one. And if you hate it, we can leave. And the next day he's like, do you want to go? I was like, no, this is really awesome. So that's how I got into Nextar.
Dude, that sounds like Cunningham. By the way, I've known Chris a long time. So when we were first starting our company, which was called Brickyard Marketing back in the day, 2008, we weren't focused on like HVAC specifically like we ended up, but Cunningham was actually my very first HVAC customer and his
nice.
He lived so close to each other down in Brownsburg before he moved and so we became friends and he was like the very first guy that got really aggressive with like SEO and paid ads with and so he was like my biggest customer there for a while before Williams Comfort Air came on, but he was like my first guy. And so I saw him Chad, what's that event we spoke at a couple years ago, me, you and Mike Branson?
Something Ream up north, something.
And he was there. And he was there. So I got to catch up with Chris, dude. Great dude. I didn't know that you actually bought him out, because he also was part of Redwood, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was kind of a weird, I think having a couple of partners that close to each other just didn't make a lot of sense in terms of overlap and marketing dollars and all the things. So
you brought that in. That's how you got your HVAC then. That's how you kind of jumped the big number, just so everybody kind of understands. So the number really jumped.
Exactly.
It was an organic move. It was, we acquired an HVAC company that was around. How large were they?
I think they were 10 or 12 million, something like that.
Okay. And then you guys kind of ramped them into your customer base. But yep. You kept plumbing for a long time, which is, I think great to just try to keep. We talk about this a lot too, one trade. So you guys really stayed focused on the one trade for a very long time until you felt like you had a decent market share, I'm assuming. And then
our sort of plan there was always, Brad and I's growth goal has all, since we decided to like pay attention, has been 20%, right? So what we told ourselves was, if ever we get to a place where we feel like we didn't grow because of market share, then we know it's time to start doing HVAC. Mm. And I don't think we ever got there, but the opportunity with Service Plus presented itself. So it just made a lot of sense to do it at that time.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting statement to say there, because I think a lot of people think they got to add the other trade to get the growth. There's a lot of growth in one trade. Sometimes being very focused and setting a baseline to say, year over year, am I getting growth out of this trade? And is it, either is there the leads available in the marketplace? Is it conversion, average sale, all the things we kind of know, right? To do that. But you felt like you grew that to, what was it? Would you just say, how much? 60 million of it is plumbing? Is that what you said earlier? I want to make sure.
40 of the roughly 60 was plumbing.
Okay, is plumbing. So, and you still don't feel like you felt like you're still growing 20%
off of that. For sure. I mean, okay. To be honest, plumbing is probably, again, HVAC might be there. Just I'd have to look, but plumbing is still growing extremely well.
Yeah, we actually seen an uptick in plumbing again recently, too. We had been a little bit flatter, but right now our plumbing is growing 15%. And, we have a pretty good plumbing business, too, right? And we're up 15% in plumbing right now. So it's interesting to see it feels like it never capped the plumbing. I don't understand. Feels like more market is always available and you don't realize.
Well, I mean, that's what I said earlier about the piece of pie. Like, it's huge. I mean, there's just so many. There's just so many 2- and 3- and 4-man shops out there doing work all day. And there's just a ton of all these businesses need more labor and more help. Whenever I look out at our businesses, I never think that like finding work is the problem.
Yeah, agree. I just had this meeting, and it's always our digital guy going, well, we are not limited by search volume.
I'm familiar with that phrase.
Yeah, he's like, go find me some more people. We will do that. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, Jack, because I think this is a topic we get into all the time, is adding the trade. Aaron, you kind of got into it. Obviously, the Service Plus thing, maybe a little bit unique and kind of combining the electrical piece. Maybe you can speak a little bit to that, because I feel like people are always like confused on, or not confused, but like, hey, do I buy a small company? Do I just hire a guy and start up a trade? Like, maybe talk a little bit about that, because I don't know. I don't know all the details on kind of the electrical acquisition, but I'm guessing that's kind of how it got started. Like, maybe tell us a little bit about, hey, things that have went well in that, things that, okay, we're still working through, so on and so forth. Cause I think it's a good kind of a point for people who are looking to add a trade, like, hey, this is maybe an option that would work.
Yeah, for sure. So we had, as we added HVAC, you naturally end up having conversations about electrical. And at the same time, the guy that I banked with forever was buddies with Hal Fry out on the west side, and had been telling me for years that eventually Hal would want to get out of the business. And I was always like, I don't know if I want to do electrical. I don't know. But met Hal, great guy, super friendly. And it just so happened that after we partnered with Redwood and I think it was probably 6 or 8 months after merging with Service Plus, the banker called me and said, hey, Hal's interested in chatting. So I started chatting with him and working on it. And I mean, I will say about just having a background in plumbing that the electrical business makes way more sense to me than the HVAC business does. Just in terms of like how you schedule calls and what day-to-day workflows are like. And it's not like, you know, 500 calls one day and 12 calls the next day. And electrical is pretty steady in the same way that plumbing is. So honestly, I think we found it easier to add on than we did HVAC, just because there's not as much of a learning curve for the way the businesses actually work. I mean, you can use a lot of the same KPIs, a lot of the same stats. I mean, we're still trying to figure out average ticket stuff, but it just makes more sense intuitively to me. So that one has been a lot of fun. And I think, as you guys probably know, I think that is a gigantic market to keep creeping into or participating in. I think it's, I mean, I don't think I'm the first person to say this or something like that, but I think there's a lot of work out there and that you could have an electrical business that's just as big as your plumbing or HVAC business.
Are you staying, are you doing residential, commercial? What are you doing?
It's all residential.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting fact to say there too, because I think we jumped into HVAC as a primary and the electrical kind of fell in because, oh, now you got an HVAC, you might as well just do electrical, right?
Sure.
And I agree, though, that the plumbing and electrical are very similar operating businesses. So I think for any plumbers out there that do want to look at a trade eventually, or electricians that want another trade, I think those two come together easier. I think HVAC definitely has a lot more layers, a lot more to learn, a lot more operational, a lot more, you know, cost to handle on shoulder seasons that people aren't used to. It's a lot different. I learned some lessons getting into HVAC, that's for sure. And now we have an electrical business that, you know, I'm still trying to figure out because all the attention with the HVAC and our plumbing and that stuff and electrical. But the thing is, like, the electrical business is growing. I agree. And I'd say historically, electrical didn't have a ton of calls. All the numbers usually say somebody only needs an electrician every 7 years. So even in NextStar coming up, people are like, yeah, all the electricians always hung out in these other groups. You guys kind of remember? They had like the electrical group. You like never talked to them. I never even seen them. They had like an electrical dinner and all these things. Like, where are the electricians? They're like, they don't come around the plumbers and the HVAC guys. So I never really got to interact really. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Yeah, 100%.
Sure. I mean, I was doing like commercial work.
I never talked to an electrician.
It was the same way on job sites years ago when I was on them. They were always in their own world.
They are. But I think that's interesting to say that. So I think it's important because I do think people want to jump to HVAC because it is, you know, a little bit of a bigger, sexier trade, has big tickets. It has all this kind of known game around it. But it would be easier to go from plumbing to electrical or electrical to plumbing. If I was to kind of rethink that early on, I probably would have added electrical earlier and did electrical and then brought in HVAC, right?
Yeah.
Over time. Because the KPIs and all the modeling is very much the same. And it's weird because I do think that the industry itself seems to be picking up on how much a demand a customer wants electrical versus what it used to be. And I don't know what's causing that. I don't know if aging of houses matter. A little bit of data, I think aging of houses matter, or there's just not enough people actually serving in it. And it's finally catching up to the fact that there's just not enough people serving that market anymore. So the demand just seems a lot higher than it may actually be.
I'm just guessing here, but I would think that sort of technology is driving some electrical growth too. Like there's just so many different things you can do from USB outlets to dimming light switches to, you know, just all of the various you guys have, I'm sure, seen the lights that people put on their houses that you can change colors and like decorate and do Christmas stuff that are permanent, right? I mean, they're pretty cool. So I think there's just a lot of technology or maybe there's just more options for what you do with light switches, outlets, what your lamp, I mean, just all of it, I think is different than what people had 50 years ago.
Listen up, VIPs. I know you think I'm incredibly good looking. You think Chad's pretty good looking. Aaron, he's okay. He's the older one of the group, but you know, he's pretty good looking for a 50-year-old man. You know what's not good looking sometimes to you contractors and to you listeners? And that's email marketing. Why? If you actually knew how to do it properly, you'd think it was incredibly sexy. Well, Send It Email Marketing, one of our newest sponsors, has got it figured out for the trades. They specialize in the trades. That's why I invested in it. That's why Tommy with A1 Garage Door uses them. Chad with Peterman Brothers. Aaron with Eco. Gettle. Like, these guys don't just use companies that suck. They use companies that actually work, and using their existing contact list. Spend all that money to get the customer, yet you do a shitty job of monetizing the list. Use Send It Email Marketing to help you today. It's a low investment, high return, or your money back. Stop fucking around and get it done. What's up, VIPs? I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Listen, I wanted Yelp to give us something, so I said, give me something I can share specifically with the listeners. And here's what they wrote verbatim. New multi-location advertisers on Yelp may qualify for a 20% bonus advertising budget when they start campaigns before September 30th, meaning Yelp puts extra ad dollars on top of whatever you spend. That's free money. So fill out the form at business.yelp.com/home-service-VIP, or just go to the show notes and click on the link, and the Yelp team will reach out to you to help get you started ASAP.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I always kind of tie it back to, like, electrical is aesthetic. Like, I can see it. And when you do the work, like, you know, when you do the electrical work, my wife can see that something was done. If I get something replaced in the plumbing, it's like, great, it works. On the HVAC side, it's like, it better be cool in my house or hot. Pretty yeah. simple kind of distinction between the two. But I do think it's one of those things, because I feel like a lot of HVAC plumbing historical companies have all added kind of that electrical trade, like over the last, what, like 5 years, it seems. I feel like there's a lot of, like, now three trade companies. And I think that points back to just a lot of people building larger companies. And you look at your customer base and you're like, hold on a second. They already know, like, and trust me. Maybe add another trade, and now they can call us for all three. So I think there's probably more talk around that as you get bigger. Whereas, you know, when you're $5-6 million, like, adding another trade seems like a, you know, insurmountable task of, like, how am I actually going to feed this monster? And I see it in, like, lead costs. I mean, like, electrical leads, I think they're some of the cheapest leads that we buy in, like, every single market. And it's like, again, they tell me not restricted by search volume. It's like, okay, now I need to find more electricians, which is, I think, the hard part now. Yeah, my God.
Electricians are the hardest to find. They're literally the hardest right now, at least that I've seen. I don't know if you guys have seen the same. Maybe that's something around the industry, but electricians are definitely the hardest to find for residential service repair.
Hey, so
what have you guys done? Go ahead. What is up, Chris?
Two things real quick. Number one, this is totally off topic, but we were asking Mason's my son, we were asking him what he wanted to go to school for, and he said, well, if I don't get a scholarship, you know, to go to college in Russell, I want to go to a trade school. I was like, no shit. And I said, what do you want to do? He's like, maybe electrician.
Yeah, well, electricians are getting paid, man. Electricians are getting paid right now, and they're
Which I thought was cool and smart because of all the advances in technology, to Jack's point. But the other thing I was going to ask, and maybe this is a super stupid question because it's exterior versus interior, but we had a dude on here, and I cannot remember if either one of you guys were on this or not, because I don't remember how far along ago the episode was. But what's an average ticket size typically on an electrical for electrical?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say we're learning this, and I think I'll tell you the number, but I want to preface it with, I think we could do, what'd you have? Sorry, I looked away.
No, I pulled out my KPI sheet. They printed really big for me.
Those are big.
Aggressive there, Aaron.
You want to know all my average? I know people that are listening on those stuff can't see it, but you guys can see, right? This is.
I think we're somewhere around 1500 on an electrical ticket.
So, okay. So that's my point. So let's just say it was even on the high side, two grand, whatever.
Yeah.
So why, help me understand why exterior illumination doesn't really fall into the electrical bucket. I know it's, I think it's low volt, I think is what it's called, but like those average tickets are like $3,500, $4,000 for these things.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably asking the wrong guy that question, because I would like for it to fall under the sort of bucket of services that we have. And I mean, I'm really, really new to the electrical business. So maybe if I went down and talked to some of our electrical managers, they could shed some insight onto why that's the case. But my guess is it's habit more than it is anything else.
Well, yeah.
I think none of us are equipped enough to talk about electrical on this call. Okay.
My grandfather was an electrician. Okay. Watch out. All right.
I was an electrician. Let's not forget. That was my first.
You tell us why it doesn't fit.
I think it's because it's mostly
guy that operates a really good electrical business. We should get him on here. I'll get him on. That has a really good. His name is Joshua. We'll get with him. He was out at your event. You know Joshua. So, yeah. I think just to preface this, so you asked the question, just for people to maybe see ours. Our last quarter for our electrical average sale in our Columbus market was $1,700. In our Dayton market, it was $2,100, and then in our Cincinnati market, it was $1,500 average sale. So I'll give you guys kind of an idea for anybody on an idea.
Average sales right at $1,500 for this month.
Yeah.
Got it. Gosh, man, that sounds like the exterior light, like what made me think about that, Jack, is you brought up that holiday lighting. I mean, I was paying like $3,000 a year when I stopped doing my own Christmas lights for them to come and do my roof at my house. Now my roof was massive, but then I put on those lights. I think I spent like 10, 12, 12 grand to have them align my roof.
And you're done.
And they also serve as like down lighting on the house if your HOA approves it, but it's like right on the, I love those things. And then, I want to light up my house too. That was another, like, I think I'm like $18,000 into my exterior, just my front yard exterior illumination, but it looks so damn good. But the average ticket, when I heard it was like $3,500 for grand, I'm like, how does that not, it's not that far off, right? You still got to run wires. I don't even think you got to use any conduit for that. I think you can just bury it. At least you can Phoenix. I'm not sure.
I know there's a business in Minnesota that does quite a bit of this and they do it really well.
Yeah. The part is, I think there is like down in the Phoenix market there, you see a lot more than that there than you do in other areas. So I do think there's some regional stuff that happens with that business line for sure. Not that it can't exist, but I definitely think there's some regional kind of behaviors that people want to illuminate their houses a little bit different. Cause I see it way more when I'm out of Phoenix and other areas than I do in Midwest. So
that makes sense. Chris, do you, if there's a Colts game on, do you go with Colts blue on your whole house?
Well, Jack, unfortunately for me, I made the transition over to being a diehard Arizona Cardinals fan, which is brutal as it sounds.
Much better being a Colts fan right now. I'm not sure what we're up to.
No comments over here.
That's fair. Thanks for making me feel a little bit better, Aaron. I still rock a little red and white, during Cardinals games. But I will say, obviously, if the Cardinals were to play the Colts, I would clearly root for the Cardinals, but I still cheer for the Colts, have to. But no, I do not turn on any blue. Now, the Pacers, different story. I still cheer for the Pacers. Okay, hey, listen, guys. We are about 45 minutes into this thing, okay? And normally, again, we would do like our VIP top three questions. Do you guys want to ask just the one? And then I'll go into, I actually want to ask some rapid fire questions to Jack this time. I'll switch it up just a little bit. But I feel like we should ask him at least our favorite top three question. Let's do it. Let's fucking do it. Chad.
I don't have these stored anywhere.
Yeah, Aaron, you do. It's the one.
What do you think is broken in the industry that nobody will admit? Right. That's basically that's the question.
Yeah.
Right.
What is broken in the industry that no one will admit? Is that the question?
What is broken in the home services industry that nobody wants to admit?
Health of the people that work in it.
Oh. Okay. So the actual. Okay, go ahead.
I think that, I mean, it's just a job that is conducive to not good living habits. You're riding around in a truck, you're eating fast food, you're tired at the end of the day, you're not working out. It's hard to like take a meal plan in your truck. I mean, you got to pack a cooler. It's, I think guys don't stretch as much as they should, and that's results in a lot of injuries. I think that people don't know what they should eat. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily unique to the trades or something like that, but I do think that it is very prevalent and frankly, probably pretty reasonable to fix. I've been in more and more shops lately where they are, you know, supplying healthy options, snack food, and like, you know, you don't have to go overboard, but like you can do better than Mountain Dew and Doritos as your only options in a vending machine or whatever. So I don't know. That was the first thing that jumped out. I mean, part of that is my partner, Brad, is an absolute health nut. So it's hard to not have that as a focus or whatever, but that's what came to mind.
Well, you jumped on it pretty quick. I think that's a super thoughtful answer.
I think so too. I can relate to that because when I was in the field doing construction all early on, I mean, I'd eat fast food 3 times a day because I didn't have any other time to do anything, right? I mean, get something at McDonald's in the morning, McDonald's at lunch, and McDonald's at dinner, right? Like, it's not, I'm not saying I went to all McDonald's, but you know, all the type of stuff.
That's what you said.
I still get some Whoppers, by the way.
Brad and I's healthy meal when we were in the truck was we'd go to Wendy's and get a deep fried chicken sandwich and chili instead of like a double cheeseburger and fries. That was the healthy day. For
sure. I used to do the same thing. I got chili from Wendy's, I was like being healthy. I felt healthy. Yeah.
And then Subway was like unheard of.
Yeah.
But that's a valid point. I do think that is probably under-recognized that people are just on the move. They're in a truck. They're have all the, you know, all the stuff in their truck with them. They're just eating not very well. So how can we embrace that and educate them? And, you know, it's hard because you're on the move. It is hard. It's very hard.
Yeah. Well, and your day's different every day.
Smoking.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to, we're going to finish this thing off with some rapid fire questions. So just kind of first thing that comes to mind, I'm only going to ask 4 of these. So it's not a lot, but, you're a pretty sharp guy, so I'm sure you've got some of this stuff already at the top of your mind.
We'll find out.
Okay, wrap up our questions. Here we go. Best growth lever under $10 million.
I think for us, it was getting focused. We were doing work for like whoever we could, like home warranty companies and, you know, realtors and like all this stuff that, you know, just not ideal for us and trying to do too many things at once. And I think when we focused on doing residential plumbing and not trying to be your water softener guy, not trying to do everything, that we were able to sort of focus and dial in and get better at all our process stuff.
Okay. Makes sense. Best growth lever over $50 million.
People. I mean, having I know that's generic, but like having the right managers in the right spot, people that you can trust it makes running this business so much easier. Like, I don't know how you guys view all this, but like, we're super comfortable with people making mistakes, right? Cause like nobody's punished for now, if you make it 5 times in a row, that's a different thing. But like, if I feel like I trust that this person was trying to make the right decision, that goes a long, long way. Cause I think the rest of the stuff you can kind of teach.
Okay. I think that makes a lot of sense. 2 more. So far, so good. Jack.
Thanks.
You're great.
I pass.
Most overrated KPI.
Sales, like total sales number. I think that you lose track of what actually matters, and that's the number at the bottom.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're okay, got it. Okay. Most underrated KPI.
Gross profit. sorry, are you guys talking about with techs? or well, just for the whole business, whatever comes to mind.
Whatever comes to mind. Yeah. Whatever comes to
mind. Yeah. I mean, I think average ticket is probably my overrated thing. I think the way you build a business over time is to have a high close rate. If you, right, maybe you don't get the bigger ticket when you're there that time, but you build a relationship and some trust. And then when 6 months later, the thing fails, they call you back and you go fix it.
Okay. All right. So I just was thinking about this. I don't know. I'm going to kind of just go off the cuff for a second before we close this thing out. And you guys might say, no, this is totally normal because you guys all have run big contracting businesses. My only experience in contracting, since I am a contractor, is stop laughing and stop saying no, Chad. I'm a contractor. is as I've been paying attention to the marketing lead flow that comes into our roofing business, being a CMO, I guess, more of a CMO mind of chasing that thing from lead coming in all the way through salesperson. Did they propose? Did they not? Did they do nothing with it? I'm chasing everything that's coming through. Is I keep asking our team, every lead that I see come through and I don't see installation sales as an example increase, I keep asking who's running it and what are they doing on this call? How many of these are they actually getting to a proposal? How many of them are actually getting to or don't get a proposal, and what actually becomes a close? Like before I'm even talking about the revenue, I'm just trying to figure out how's that individual doing on each of the leads that are coming in per trade line. I'm just saying trade line because insulation, roofing, insulation, whatever. And I haven't been able to get like a clear answer on that yet. And other than the sales process is still being worked on. Okay. So that just means, yeah, we're not selling. Like we're having leads come in that we're not selling. But that seems to me like even when I ran Rhino, you know, at as big as it was, having like, I swear we had like 80 different lead sources. It was hard to manage. But I would pay attention to every single, how each individual performed per lead source. And I had a metric. So this is my underrated metric, is I wanted to know what the lifetime value over CAC was, over customer acquisition cost for every single lead source. But I still needed to know how the individual was impacting that, because the sales number, there was only 12 salespeople, so it wasn't complicated. But that number I feel like is very underrated, because it can skew what the actual real return is per lead source based on the salesperson running the job. And I don't know how you get, but at least now with some of these AI tools, you can help. I guess it can help you because they're paying attention to the in-home sales process or whatever. But to me, that was always one of those things. It's like, I just feel like it's underrated on how we, I mean, it's really granular, right? And maybe it's unrealistic at your guys' size because of the volume of people that you have to manage it. I don't know. But to me, it still seems like an underrated metric is how's the individual performing per lead source.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting concept. Like, I wonder if like certain guys perform better on certain sides of town, or if they perform better for, you know, an Angie's List customer than a Yelp customer or a Google, you know, whatever the lead source is. I wonder how much those guys' personality matters when they show up at the house.
Yeah. Chad always told me, like, he would say, man, I used to always perform better over on the east side, you know, because he just connected a little bit more.
Apes.
Those are his homies.
That's a real granular Indiana joke there.
pick the neighborhood in your community. I guarantee we all got one. South Phoenix would be the equivalent here. It's just a little bit, you know, a little bit more ghetto. And Chad excelled in those. You know, just good old Indiana boy.
Yeah, my dad's side of the family's from the east side, Cecina folk. That's where they're from.
Gangster. All right. Yeah. Enough. Hey, dude, this was a fun episode. It's actually, that was fun to have you on, Jack, man.
It's been awesome. These things, you go back and forth, you're busy or whatever, but every time I end up doing one of them, it's fun. Mostly because you always get asked about your story, and it's just so much fun to think back about like where I was or what we were doing 15 years ago or 17 or almost 20 or whatever it is now. And I don't know. It always feels like nostalgic in a real fun way to do these things.
Dude, and you got a great fucking company. My God.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
An amazing business, plumbing first business, and turned it into what you guys did. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. You guys seem to have done okay. So
It's not about us. It's about you.
It's about all. We can all win together. There's lots of it.
Yes, we can.
Well, listen, man, we appreciate the time, Jack. It's right at the top.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to try to get you guys out here. You guys have other shit to do. So, but listen, again, congrats. And then, you know, we give another shout out to Redwood. I didn't plan on digging into that much, too much on this episode, but it sounds like you were doing just fine before you had them too. So you got some things figured out, but, yeah, man, it was nice to finally meet you and come on here.
Yeah, you too.
And, listen to our listeners, like, I mean, he's 40 million in plumbing, like a 40 million plumbing before he brought on HVAC, and then he's tapping into electrical. It sounds like Aaron's, you know, got something there with plumbing, electrical, not forcing HVAC and making, you know, causing disruption, but like, you know, to each their own. So like, these guys are just here to at least share their experiences with you. And I appreciate you guys all being open. And I think it's very cool to have a guest on here that's in the same market, you know, as Chad or Aaron. It's always interesting just to kind of hear, you know, maybe the differences, you know, that one might be doing versus the other. But the coolest thing is the camaraderie, right? And you guys, you know, have a friendship. That's cool. Competitive, you know, friendly competitors. I think that's great. And to, you know, like you said, there's a shitload to go around in the state of India. So like, you guys can both go and compete well. So to our listeners, at the end of the day, man, all we're doing is trying to give you guys ideas. All we ask is that you don't talk about it, but be about it. So until next time, next week, till we have another guest. I'm not even sure who the hell it is at this point. We got another VIP come on. I thought I had Hoffman coming on here today, but he bailed out on me. So we'll get some other guys on here and make another episode interesting. But until then, we'll see you.
What's the password?
Don't talk about it. Be about it.